Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Today is Wit Edition. I'm your co-host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Alongside me, as always, is co-host Sandy Welfare. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Ryan. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We've been doing this on a regular rhythm for a few months now.
I mean, it's been over a year now.
Yes, yeah. And highlighting the good work that WIT's doing and providing those resources for young girls and career-minded women as well, but also highlighting the businesses and business professionals out there who are also supporting your mission.
Absolutely. We have some great partners such as Mohawk, and so we're going to have some good conversation with David today.
That's good. Let's remind our listeners real quick to follow us on Twitter at Business Radio X. You can follow the network. You can also follow the program here today at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio, and WIT at WITATL, right? On Twitter?
Correct.
WITATL on Twitter. Follow them there. You'll be able to see some photographs of later of our in-studio guest. Without further ado, let's say hello to Mr. CIO with Mohawk Industries, David Bingenheimer. How are you, David?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Good. And here it is on a Thursday, and your first time on Business Radio X.
That's correct. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we'll take it easy on you here today. So tell us a little bit about your background. Where did it all get started for you?
Sure. It all got started, honestly, back in 1980 when my mother bought me a what was then referred to as a Trash 80 or a TRS 80. I started doing computer programming, writing computer games and everything else like that, and kind of led me into various kind of career paths and led me into the role that I'm here today.
So your mother got you interested in technology at a young age.
She did.
Why do you think it was so important to her to, you know, encourage you to kind of go that path?
I think she just saw a natural inclination in me that I was always interested in that, and always interested in the application of technology to solve problems, whatever the problem was, whether it was writing a computer game or solving, you know, some sort of business problem or randomly picking the lottery numbers. There was always this application of technology to solve problems.
Right. And then you went on to college. Where'd you go?
I went to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater.
Okay.
Got my BA in political science. And then I later went on and got my MBA with an emphasis in operations.
All right. And then what brought you to Atlanta?
Actually, Mohawk recruited me. So previously I was in Pittsburgh working for another organization. I was looking for a CIO role. This role came across my desk. And here I am.
Mohawk Industries. And you've been there since how long?
2014.
2014. Yeah. And you're in the CIO role over there. Mohawk's been going strong for years in the flooring industry.
That's correct. Tell us
a little bit about what Mohawk does differently and what makes you guys unique.
Well, Mohawk is focused on a lot of different things, but they're primarily focused on innovation and bringing innovative products to the marketplace. So they do have a fully integrated supply chain manufacturing operation. We actually take plastic bottles, break them down into pellets, turn that into fabric that we actually make carpet out of and everything else like that. So
yeah.
That's really what they're focused on. There's a transition in the industry right now going away from what we call soft surface, which is traditional rugs and carpets, to hard surface. So we're focused on that right now.
Like laminate floors, wood
laminate
floors.
Laminate floors, wood floors, yeah. Tile, ceramic tile, things along those lines.
Yeah, and tile floors. What do you have at your house, Sandy? Carpet or tile?
First floor is all wood, and then the top floor is carpet.
So, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Which is typically what homes are now. 25, 30 years ago was all carpet, except for the kitchen, right?
Including the bathroom.
Which was slightly odd. But today, it's mostly hardwood, and it's getting more and more and more hard surfaces. So.
I will tell you, I am amazed when I see on HGTV the types of hardwood that are man-made. I'm just floored.
And
floored.
It looks natural, and it comes in different grains, and
floored by the wood floor.
There you go. No pun intended.
So when did you come across the Sandy's path and WIT, and when were you first aware of what the good work they're doing?
Well, I was actually recruited by a recruiter to be a attendee at the WIT event 2 years ago to be an auctionee to auction off time for organizations to come and present to my staff. And so we did that, and we actually do business with the first organization that won the bid for us. So we decided to come back this year and greatly enjoyed the event.
That's great. And so you've been involved since 2014. And Sandy, you've known David since he's been helping out over there. And so what do you think that's special about David and Mohawk? And what do they bring to the table to help WIT? And it's kind of a unique industry, you know? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think for me, those executives that give of their time are showing that they're committed in a different way. But to me, that personal touch goes much further than someone who wants to come and just do a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. You're showing a commitment to the organization. And then more importantly, those persons who are able to meet and connect with David now have a new reference that basically came from WIT. And so for us, it's the continuing bridging of everyone's mm-hmm. network that helps make WIT Connect such a great event, because we've had last month we were on here with a business that started from WIT Connect last year.
That's right.
Two people from totally different organizations got together and decided. So for David to give up his personal time, I think that that just shows his commitment to WIT. But more importantly, it helps the community to see executives at his level doing something fabulous for women and girls. And I think as we look at where we're going for 2017, the level of connection is more important than ever. And I think that he just helps keep our profile strong.
Yeah, that's great. And like I said, it's a carpet industry. You know, Atlanta, we have so many other industries that are prominent in the metro area, but this is great that Georgia is being represented. And I mean, it's the carpet capital of the world, right?
It surely is.
They're in Dalton, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It surely is.
Yeah, and Mohawk is proud to be part of that. And the technology side, again, mm-hmm. you know, bringing that you personally as well as professionally to the industry itself.
That's right.
And how you can continue to integrate that as Mohawk continues to grow.
Mm-hmm. We're really focused on utilizing technology. Our focus right now is primarily in three areas. The first area is really changing the buy-sell relationship with our customers. You know, end consumers are really going about purchasing flooring in a completely different manner. You know, 10 years ago, it was you go to a flooring center, you look at some samples, you bring it back home, you lay it on the floor, you try to visualize what it looks like. Today, it's all digital. You have room visualizers. You can lay down any sort of surface that you want. You can see what it looks like with your flooring. And so the way that consumers are buying flooring has dramatically changed. So we have to change the way that we engage with consumers and that we engage with our distributors and dealers.
So changing the way you deal with the consumers. And mm-hmm. you said there's some other ways.
Right. We're also focused because we've also grown through acquisitions. And so you can, you know, appreciate the complexity in terms of the back office systems and the redundancy. So we have a lot of strategic efforts around reducing that back office complexity. And I think the other area that we're really focused on is really the utilization of knowledge. And so we have a lot of predictive analytics projects going on in terms of predicting what customers are going to buy, predicting machine failure, predicting selling, predicting correlations and causality between different events within our manufacturing plants. So those are three areas, the front office, kind of the back office, and then utilizing all of the knowledge that we have to make us more efficient and make us better.
And maybe speak to the other CIOs out there as they're trying to implement large strategic changes and plans to the organization. How do you go about doing that and making sure it gets executed the way you envision it?
Yeah, I think the easiest part, really, honestly, is probably the implementation of the technology. The hardest part is really building the consensus, you know, building that change in the organization. Mm-hmm. Understanding that people in delivering the message so that they believe that they still have value in the organization. When you move from a legacy system that somebody has 20 years worth of experience on, that's how they define their value in the organization. When you move over to a new system, everybody starts kind of day one, week one, month one, year one, right? And so it causes a lot of anxiety in the organization. So I would really focus on the change management aspect mm-hmm. of it, focus on the value delivery aspect of it. Because oftentimes, you know, in my 25 plus years, there really hasn't been a technical problem we haven't been able to solve. It's really more the organizational change and really delivering the value.
Implementation.
Yeah. That's correct.
I just wanted to add to that. I think that as companies look to use technology to their advantage, it really is incumbent upon organizations to spend the time and the resources to do the change management piece, because that's where you're going to me, gain better employment engagement. Mm-hmm. Because I think employees are not going to feel as actively engaged when the change just kind of gets delivered and
Correct.
Dropped on them. And having done SAP implementations around the world for financials, it's really been interesting just to see how some of the most dedicated, they know everything about the organization and how the business runs. Yet during this implementation, they then become kind of like the, you know, single point of failure in the world of Six Sigma. And so I think it's great to hear mm-hmm. the dynamics of using technology, but then using the change management that comes with it to make Mohawk a better organization.
That's correct.
Yeah, the vision for the change, you know, the implementation of that, I think it stems a little bit too from the leadership style, the type of leader you are. You know, yeah. Do people believe you? Are they on board with your vision? Mm-hmm. How would you describe your leadership style?
You know, I think my leadership style is one of collaboration, you know, one of engagement. I always try to simplify things as much as possible. Technology is very, very complicated. You know, we have old legacy technology in our environment, all the way up to, you know, enterprise packet solutions, all the way to cloud-based solutions. So I think the ability to simplify very, very complex issues is part of my leadership style, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, my personal philosophy is I'm a business leader that happens to be in charge of the technology function. And so in doing that, you have to align this function to deliver business value. Right. And so my leadership style is really all about delivering value to the organization, whether that's, you know, top line value, bottom line value, helping the organization transform, being able to deal with generational differences in terms of, you know, the millennials versus Generation X in ways that they communicate. So I try to keep all that in mind in terms of my leadership style.
And there's different ways to measure value. You know, mm-hmm. there's monetary value, there's morale value, there's just overall brand recognition, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So you've got to keep testing the pulse of the company, the organization, as you're leading them through this change. And so this, you're going through the change process and implementing some new technologies. How long do you envision this taking?
It never really ends, right? I mean, it never really stops. I mean, there's always some, you know, whatever the next business challenge is, whether that's getting into a new market or some sort of new manufacturing technique,
right.
or, you know, 10 years ago, the iPhone didn't exist, right? And now we have to deal with bring your own device into the organization. So transformational changes never really stop. What you really have to focus on now is, and I too deployed, you know, both SAP and Oracle. And I think that what organizations are looking for now is more rapid delivery, right? So we've moved away from what was traditionally called a waterfall type mm-hmm. of, you know, implementation to a very agile type of delivery. We're going through a transformational initiative right now in our front-end systems, and every month we're delivering new functionality. Now, 15 years ago when I was deploying ERPs, it was, you know, every 12 months, maybe every 18 months, you know, and the business can't wait for that cycle.
Yeah, so the speed of the delivery has increased.
But I think that that's a great point, David, because in so many ways, it helps people to move with the change when it's done faster.
Mm-hmm.
I think during my time of SAP and Oracle implementation, the slower you move, the harder it is on the organization. And so it's great to see that it's moving faster. But I also think technology has enhanced so many of its features and functionality that it's easier for you to then see the end result because you're not going in. So if I think about like my first SAP payroll, which let's just say for the record, that just challenged me in more ways than not. You had to do increments of it.
Right.
You could not do the full thing at one time. And so it's, to me, great to see a leader who's willing to do it quickly and then to basically do that from a collaborative perspective. So that's fantastic.
Right. I have to say my style of leadership is vanilla ice. I stop, I collaborate, and I listen. And then I break it down for folks after that. So that's my leadership style. We're talking with David Bingenheimer. He's CIO of the flooring segment of Mohawk Industries. He's been involved with WIT here in Atlanta since 2014. And most recently, we heard that the Mohawk package that was auctioned off was one of the top bidded packages out there. So what were you guys doing that was so cool?
I'm not exactly sure. You know, we
well sought after.
Right. Yeah. We you know, we try to, you know, socialize with everybody, talk about what we're doing, talk about where our industry is going. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to bring as much of my staff as possible. I think, you know, we were sought after because, you know, we really want to give people opportunities that may not have opportunities and may not potentially get a meeting. Right. So we, you know, we're really focused on saying, hey, if you're dedicated to WIT, we're dedicated to WIT. You know, bid on us. We'll make sure that, you know, we collaborate with you and involve you in a couple of our projects. So.
And why is it important for Mohawk as a whole to be involved with STEM and WIT? I mean, what are some of those values that it brings to you as an organization?
I think the reality is the world is changing, right? And so we have to have a diverse workforce. We have to have a diverse leadership team. And I think that that's very, very important. And I personally have three daughters. And, you know, one of my daughters is highly engineered focused. She really loves technology. She loves robotics and everything else like that. And I just want a fair playing field for her. And I want her to have the same opportunities that were afforded to me and afforded to people before me. And so therefore, I think that in my role, if I can help effect that change, that's what I'm going to do.
Definitely power and diversity in the leadership positions within the organizations. But Sandy, we hear this time and time again, you know, business leaders coming in and supporting WIT because they've had personal stories or personal influences. You know, with David, you know, mother got him started young, and now he's a father of three young daughters. So it's important to him personally as well as professionally.
Oh, absolutely. And what I share all the time is that the conversation can't be with women talking to other women. Mm-hmm. It has to be with a good mix of male and females, because at the end of the day, the leadership of many tech companies, particularly here in Atlanta, are going to be male. And we're wanting to make sure that they're out being a champion and carrying the flag for their daughters and their daughters' generations that are going to be coming behind them. So it's fantastic to hear. And of course, I think for someone like David, who is doing the work that he's doing, he feels he's planting the seed for the tree that his daughter will sit under mm-hmm. many years from now, even though he may not sit under. And I think
and she'll plant the next tree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And STEM is a big part of that.
Absolutely.
You know, the science, the technology, all of that is in part of that. What about the industry itself, the flooring industry? Is there a lot of female leaders? Is there a female in technology roles?
Well, you know, as always with, you know, a lot of technologies, there's not a lot of female leaders. But I have a personal commitment, as well as, you know, both of my bosses, the business unit president and the CIO, to really bring in a diverse, you know, workforce. Personally, I have two female directors. I have several senior managers. We are really focused on hiring a diverse leadership team. And not just to say that we check the box, but we truly believe that diversity brings diverse thinking. Mm-hmm. It brings about ideas, out-of-the-box thinking. And we think that that's important because we're constantly challenged to innovate and deliver results. So
yes, and you've got to do that on a regular basis. And you have to have a plan to be doing that a year from now, 5 years from now,
absolutely,
10 years from now. And that's what WIT is providing, these outlets for organizations to go to and give back, and the opportunities to cultivate new talent for the future.
Right. And I think similar to what David said about transformation, you know, this is the kind of conversation that doesn't happen and then we're done, or next year's WIT Connect and then we're done, or even this year's WIT Awards. It's a continuing conversation because we're wanting to at least give some sense of empowerment to the next generation mm-hmm. of young ladies. For me, if I had a WIT when I was growing up, I probably would be, you know, further ahead, you know, because you really do get a sense of empowerment and the you can do it, you know, conversation. I think that there were times when I was in my career where I would have really wanted that level of support. Yeah. So for us, it's really helping us to get partners like David and Mohawk doing the things that we need to do for the next generation, because the millennials are very different. And I think that we've got to make a work environment that is empowering for young women, particularly in the STEM fields, or this group, they're not going to stay. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting. You just seeing the different dynamics. I mean, I'm, you know, 29 for the 31st year, I think. but my thought process would have been to mold to the company, whereas their thought process is I will like it or I'll move on. Mm-hmm. And companies are now molding to them. So that speaks volumes to the millennials.
That's a good point about right. culture and creating an atmosphere not only to learn and grow
and
professionally, but feeling welcome and needed and feeling valued as a person, first mm-hmm. and foremost, above being an employee.
Right.
And so setting that culture and saying, I don't think you can be much further along in your career. You already kind of at the top. You got it going on. You know that.
Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
so if you had WIT when you were younger, yeah, you're right. Who knows? You may be, you know.
Probably CEO somewhere, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
But you also have to want that. So, yeah. And I don't think I've ever wanted all that. So,
how would you describe the culture over there at Mohawk as a whole? And where does that all stem from?
I would say that, you know, Mohawk is a very old company. It's been around for a number of years, but I think the culture is one of collaboration. It's a very much a relationship culture. So they want you to go in and build relationships. Mm-hmm. It's a very flat organization. So I literally sit, you know, 100 feet away from the chairman of the organization. He sits in our cafeteria. It's very much a family type of organization. It's probably, I like to joke, I probably say it's the smallest $9 billion organization that I ever worked at, because there's very much an entrepreneurial spirit
yeah.
and very much an empowering spirit that basically says, hey, if we have a good idea, we're going to run with it and we're going to empower you to do it.
So. Right. I mean, I'm very curious in terms of how the building side of things and people of home improvement has drastically changed. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you all get such a benefit from people really wanting, you know, if you bought a house years ago, you might live with it because it just wasn't worth doing, redoing it. But now you have a floor product that would cost, you know, something someone can afford.
Sure.
So do you see the home side of things? Because every time I watch any HGTV, I'm just amazed at the type of flooring. Amazed.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, the industry is forcing us to drive innovation. Mm-hmm. Consumer demand is forcing us to drive innovation. So there's always new products that we're rolling out. And as I stated earlier, there's a movement away from soft surface products, you know, to hard surface products, whether it's, you know, luxury vinyl tile or it's ceramic or it's wood or it's engineered wood or whatever. I mean, consumers are demanding more. And they're demanding to have access to that information and be able to visualize those surfaces in their homes even more. So.
Yeah. In the textile industry, I imagine it's very competitive. And there's kinds of, you know, innovation and scientific research going on behind the scenes and not sharing of information of how they produce that wood floor exactly. So I'm sure you guys are on the cutting edge as well as what's next and greatest out there for flooring.
But I think the key thing also is you know, everybody primarily uses the same manufacturing techniques. But at the end of the day, you know, what you have to be able to do is be able to be in touch with your customers, you know, have operational efficiency and be easy to do business with, right? And recognize kind of where the industry is going. And as they say in hockey, don't skate to where the puck is, skate to where the puck's going to be, right? So that's very much the philosophy that we have. Where are we going to be in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in terms of our strategic plan, that's where we're trying to focus.
Well, where do you think what do you think the floors of the future will look like?
I think if we were to be, you know, out, you know, maybe 20 years, I think you're going to have the concept of smart floors. I think you're going to see integration of floors into the overall kind of smart home concept. I think you're going to understand traffic patterns in homes and commercial buildings such that it will drive energy efficiency. You may even see flooring that you may put into an elderly person's home that can alert people if that person falls.
Interesting. Right.
Yeah. And will alert.
Incorporating technology into flooring.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's all sorts of, you know, of possibilities that will occur.
That's exciting for sure. My personal story with flooring is my father was a flooring salesman growing up. He worked at Color Tile and all these other places here and around town. And I used to go on job sites with him when I was 12 years old and would pull up old carpet and put down flooring and stuff. So a personal story there is, like I said, always, and I think he wanted to be a carpet salesman at some point, but I'm just not a salesman. So, what's next for you? The balance of 2016, are you going to be out doing some promotional work? Are you trying to reach more customers? What's next for you?
You know, as always, we're always trying to increase our market share, trying to increase our penetration in certain markets. You know, we're always rolling out new products, you know, to our customers and to the industry. You know, personally, you know, we're going to stay focused on the transformational initiatives that we have in reference to, you know, the way that we engage our customers, the way that our customers engage us. We're going to stay focused on our back office simplification, and we're going to stay focused on our predictive analytics activities. So.
Do you go to trade shows, expos, conventions?
In reference to the flooring industry, I do attend one or two a year just so that I can stay in touch with what our dealers and distributors are wanting. So I can stay in touch with what our salespeople are challenged with on a day-to-day basis. I'm not really selling any flooring, right? Because I'm not really the expert in it. But I like to stay in touch with, you know, how people are using our technology, what works for them, what doesn't work for them, what they see as value add, what they don't see as value add. I think oftentimes as technologists, you know, we can get stuck in our ivory towers thinking that we have a great idea. And then when you get to the actual ground level and really see how people are actually using the technology could be completely different than what you thought, right? So.
Yeah, Sandy, I bet those after parties at the carpet conventions are insane.
To say the least.
Yeah, so what's next for WIT? You guys got some things coming up?
So next week is our WIT Forum on exploring the S in STEM. So we're going to have a few scientists as well as other persons who are in the medical field. It'll be quite interesting. So good looking panel.
But so of go course, to mywit.org for more information
for
on
more
that.
Information. Yep. But of course, you know, right now everything is the big WIT Awards for Women of the Year.
And this year
we have a nonprofit category. So we're wanting to get people nominated in small, medium, and large and nonprofit.
For the CIOs to give back.
for the women who are in those fields and who are stellar.
So that should be exciting. Mm-hmm. So that's November 17th out there at the George Aquarium. You can get tickets now if you want to buy a table.
Absolutely.
You want your organization to be out there. Or maybe you have a CEO that you want to volunteer his or her time to be up there, to be bidded on. So lots of going on. And you've already identified who the award recipients are going to be, or the nominees?
No. So the nominations are now through August 5th. And then after that, it'll go into judging. And from there, we'll pick our top
and then announce the
three
finalists.
Persons per category, and that's the finalists.
And then at the event itself, the past winners get to vote on the current winners.
Yes, past winners, and they'll also be ambassadors that will help them through the process. So
that's great. So again, go to mywit.org for more information about the near-term events, but also the big gala that's coming up later this year in November. And then whatever you want to get involved with, that's a great way to for companies to give back or get involved if they just want to volunteer their time.
Absolutely.
So that's great. So so thank you so much again, Sandy, for making all this happen. David, let's remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you, either professionally or personally.
You can access my profile on LinkedIn. I don't know what the exact URL is, but David Bingenheimer at Mohawk Industries, or you can email me at David_Bingenheimer@MohawkIND.com.
There you go. And check it out on the website as well. And let's. What do you like to do in and around Atlanta when you're not taking care of the technology there at Mohawk? And I know you got three girls. What are some of the things you do in your off time?
Well, besides them spending all of my money, I'm a big foodie. So I like to try different restaurants around town and things along those lines. And I really appreciate a good bottle of red wine. So
okay. Any place I should know about? What's the newest, hottest, trendingest?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask that. You know, I'm a 46-year-old dad,
okay.
But I was at the Buckhead Club last night.
Nice.
Some great bottles of wine, so that was good as well. So
good. All right. Well, David Bingenheimer, CIO of Flooring Industries there at Mohawk. Thank you so much for joining us, time out to join us here on WIT Connect or WIT Atlanta Special Edition of Atlanta Business Radio. And so if you're doing something interesting out there to generally serve your market and want to get involved with WIT, go to mywit.org. We'll feature you here on the program as well. You can visit this program at atlantabusinessradio.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.